I guess to that part of the blackboard. So our next speaker is Ian Hamilton from McMaster University. He decided to come west for a couple of days, and he's going to talk about homotopy self-equivalence and support manifolds.
Thanks, Dale. It's a pleasure to be here. I think, do better than start in the way the last beautiful talk started, by saying that X be a topological space. And I wanted to, so this talk is about sort of a classical object associated to a topological space, namely the space of homotopy self-equivalences. So maybe I'll put the adjectives in a slightly different order. Self homotopy equivalences. And I'm going to always take a connected space here. And picking a base point, you could have the space of base point preserving self-homotopy equivalences and an evaluation map to X, which gives you a vibration, and pi zero, so on the pi zero level, this is the space that we're going to be interested in. I'll call this out, and when I remember, I'll put a little dot there to remind you that it's base point preserving. And this is out. And you have a part of the exact sequence of the vibration. I only wrote this down to just point out that there's an interesting action of pi 1 of x0 on here. For example, if the fundamental group of the space is finite, then this map is injective by an old result of Dan Gottlieb in the 60s. So it's injective if pi 1 is finite. This seems like a good place to start trying to understand self-homotopy equivalences up to homotopy. So in this case, base point preserving, and the homotopies are also base point preserving. Classical invariant of topological space. Not too much is known, I think, in even for relatively simple spaces about these things. So the particular interest, this is a project with Matthias Kreck. Our particular interest is when, I think maybe I'll switch now from X's to M's, where M is a smooth, say, closed, oriented four-manifold. And I'm going to abuse the notation a little bit, perhaps, by adding one more assumption on this, and that is that this should be the homotopy classes, pointed homotopy classes of orientation preserving. And base point preserving. Self-homotopy equivalences. So there's all of this and divided by pointed homotopy. So we're dealing with orientation preserving, pointed, base point preserving, self-homotopy equivalence of the, in this case, four manifolds, and divided by homotopy preserving the base point. Now, why we're interested in this? Well, there's a natural relation between this space, or this group now, I should say, and the another geometric group, which is associated to manifolds of any dimension, but in particular four manifolds. And this would be the group of H cobordisms from from M to M. So what I mean by this here is that you have an oriented five manifold, and both pieces of boundary are M, and this is a homotopy equivalent to a product. So the usual way is that both inclusions, I0 and I1, are homotopy equivalences. And you can add a condition of preserving a base point, and you get a out of this you can get a homomorphism from the H cobordisms to the group of homotopy self-equivalences by basically coming in from one end and taking a retract to go to the other end. So we get this. So this is an object of geometric interest in four manifolds, and our motivation in this project was to see how closely these two things are related. Okay. The computation or study of something like out X looks like a purely homotopy theoretic problem. We wanted to use other methods, more Bordism theory, surgery theory, more geometric methods to take advantage of the fact that M is actually a manifold. So I think I have to dispense with your announcement here. Cover it over. So maybe just a few points about what do we know about the topology of smooth four manifolds. So the so the there's the simply connected case. From an algebraic topologist's point of view, it's a fairly boring looking thing. M would be take some wedge of two spheres and you add on a four cell by means of some mapping, and using the Hilton-Milner theorem to tell you what pi 3 of this wedge of two spheres is, you can then explicitly identify the elements in the attaching map which give rise to, they say, the cup product form on M, and it seems like a completely done deal. The computation of out of M in the simply connected case is kind of a long-standing saga in this area of topology. The essential ingredients were identified a long time ago. The essential ingredients are, first of all, some easy self-equivalences you can get that do this. Pinch off a four sphere, just collapse a four ball to boundary to a point. And then to get back into M, you use on this part, you just use the identity, but on this part, you use a composition of the non-trivial, the homotopically non-trivial map from the four-sphere to the two-sphere, the Hopf map and the suspension of the Hopf map, followed by, so this will be going to do eta squared, to get from the four-sphere to the two-sphere, and then followed by some element, alpha, in pi 2 of m. So these are... that constructs for you a homotopy self-equivalence in the simply connected case. It's an element of order 2 in this group because these elements have order 2. And the answer in the simply connected case basically is that these elements, together with the automorphisms of the intersection form, give you the full story for the group out M. But putting together those pieces was a path fraught with various sorts of errors and was only finally completed by Cochran-Haberger in the 80s. I think the late 80s. It might be in 88, 89, something like that. Who described that group explicitly. I'll state their result precisely because we're going to generalize it.
Alpha can be any element of pi 2.
Yeah. So these self-equivalences you recognize by their construction act as the identity on the middle dimensional homology of the manifold. So that if you try to divide things into two parts, look at the action on homology. That has to respect the intersection form. Look at the kernel of the action on homology. That would give you a way to try to understand out M from a sort of algebraic topology point of view. Does this complete the story of the topology of smooth, simply connected four manifolds? Well, if you study, so I'm implying that you're studying smooth four manifolds up to homeomorphism, let's say. Homotopy equivalence, yes, it does complete that story. Up to homeomorphism, no, because there's a celebrated conjecture, as yet unresolved, called the 11/8 conjecture. So that if you have spin simply connected M4, then B2 divided that the B2 should be greater than or equal to 11/8 of the signature, the absolute value of the signature. And if true, that would say that M would be homeomorphic to a connected sum. So this is spin case of the standard building blocks, so S2 cross S2s and K3 surface. So this is this famous algebraic surface or family of algebraic surfaces which has signature 16, rank of B2 is 22. That's the 11/8 in the 11/8 conjecture. Without resolving this conjecture, you don't know the story for a homeomorphism classification, even of smooth four manifolds. And it's not the subject of this talk to say more about smooth four manifolds. There's a big story beyond that, of course, for diffeomorphism classification, or just trying to look at the variety of examples that there are around. Okay. From an algebraic topology point of view, of course, non-simply connected four manifolds are very interesting. And I'll just say two things sort of quickly about it, that the topology simplifies under stabilization. So if you do M connected sum with a bunch of S2 cross S2s, that's what I mean by stabilization, you reduce the problem basically to Bordism theory, to understand the stable classification of four manifolds under connected sum of S2 cross S2s. It's a Bordism theory problem. And for Bordism theory, you have methods from algebraic topology, spectral sequences to compute Bordism groups in terms of more familiar invariants. The opposite The opposite point of view, what we might call cancellation. So if you have an M connected some S2 cross S2s, a bunch of S2 cross S2s, and suppose that this is homeomorphic to an M prime connected some, let's say, the same number of S2 cross S2s. We can match them up like that. Cancellation would be the question about removing some or all of these S2 cross S2s. And the theorem that Matthias and I proved on this subject is that if pi 1 is finite, then you get the best possible answer, which is that if M splits off a single S2 cross S2, that implies that you can get rid of all the rest. So homeomorphic. You couldn't do better than having one S2 cross S2 just because of quadratic forms. They don't stabilize down to nothing. They don't destabilize down to nothing. For pi 1 finite and for class of groups which are called good fundamental groups by Friedman, polycyclic bifinite are included, you can employ methods of surgery to get more classification methods for four manifolds up to homeomorphism. But for general finite fundamental groups, it's a kind of big open story. And of course, if you take a finite two complex, take a finite two complex, such as you can get for any finitely presented group. So pi 1 is any finitely presented group. Then you could put k inside of R5. It's just a two complex. You could thicken it, take a neighborhood, double it, and you have a particularly trivial looking four manifold with the given fundamental group. But it shows, shows that the complexity of finite two complexes feeds into understanding non-simply connected four manifolds. Okay, so back to out M, self-homotopy equivalences. So I wanted to tell you about two results. One result is, the first result is what we think of as a kind of conceptual picture of what out M looks like, gives you a scheme for computation, and the second result is a computation in some cases. So there's out M in the middle of this thing, and we want to compare it to various things. So the our point of view is to use Bordism, I mentioned. So one first thing I think I'm going to compare it to is four-dimensional Bordism of M. Now, just to simplify my notation for the moment, I'm going to talk about a spin manifold. We have a version for non-spin case, but I'll stick to this. And when I write an omega here, I'm meaning spin Bordism. Smooth spin Bordism. Yes?
Question back here. Pardon my bringing you back a little bit. Shouldn't this be a five-dimensional set there? Oh, boundary.
What did I do? Sorry. I'm taking...
Connected self?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Concatenated two slightly different ways of doing this into one incorrect statement. The boundary of this, I could have taken, and was thinking when I wrote, I could have taken a thickening of K as a two complex, a four-dimensional thickening, and doubled it. Or what I actually wrote, take a thickening in five dimensions and take the boundary. Right. Thank you.
Is it the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing. And I managed, as I say, to make the intersection of two correct statements into a wrong one.
So,
usually it works, you know, usually it works out well if you take the intersection of two correct statements. But yes, okay. So I mean spin Bordism. And this map is very simple. So the omega 4 of M means that you have a spin manifold and you have a reference map to M. Right? Think of homology of a space. You have a cycle, you have a map into the space. So the object alpha of a homotopy self-equivalence here, alpha of F, is the Bordism element, which is, just consider M with the reference map to M given by the self-equivalence, and subtract off M with the identity as a reference map. Okay, that's the definition of alpha. It's not a homomorphism. This is a group and that's a group, but this is not a homomorphism.
That's actually alpha in the homotopy class of alpha?
Yes.
It's well defined.
Mm-hmm. What we want to do is to come out here to compare this in another way. But maybe the simplest thing to do is to give a kind of formulation for the inverse image of zero in this group. So what would be sort of the fiber of this map? I will call this H tilde of M to emphasize its connection, close connection, in a way that I'll explain better a little bit later, to H cobordisms. So this would be H tilde of M. Now what would you naturally put there if you wanted to have the fiber of this map? Well, up here, oops, I need a little definition room. So H tilde of M. I think I'll just draw. We're looking at a Bordism between this element and the element where you take the identity as the reference map. So you have a smooth spin five-dimensional Bordism, not an H-cobordism, but just a Bordism. That's the tilde. We relax the assumption that this should be an H-cobordism. But it's oriented and has minus M at one end and M at the other end. And it's a Bordism between the singular element at the one end and the singular element at the other end. It's kind of the obvious thing to make the beginnings of a sort of exact sequence up there. And this should be, of course, base point preserving homotopy equivalence. And you're dividing out by a Bordism relation. So think of making a Bordism of things like that. And on this boundary, you keep the identity. On this boundary, you're allowed to do a pointed homotopy. And in the middle, you're allowed to do an arbitrary Bordism, extending a reference map on the top and bottom to M. Okay? So this is, I'll just write this as Bordism. Of course, the H-cobordisms have a natural map into this, and we can describe the relationship between these more precisely, and that is in a computable way. But I want to go sort of orthogonally to that and fill in something here which is a little bit more, captures more of the essential homotopy theoretic information of M. So the idea to go this way is to construct a universal space from M. This is going to be some M union, some cells. the natural map or inclusion map is kind of, think of this as kind of like a classifying map. so that this classifying map is three connected. So in other words, what we have is a connected space. It's pi 1, pi 2 isomorphism. And pi I, so and pi I of B equals 0 for I greater than or equal to 3. Okay, so you just sort of, from a homotopy point of view, you would isolate the information that's contained in the first and second homotopy groups of M. Together with the way they link together, or they are they're coherent with one another. So B, in other words, is a map from K pi 1, 1. It's a two-stage Postnikov system. So two-stage, it's a fibration over K pi 1 with fiber K pi 2. That's all it is. And there's a classifying element in this, which is the first K invariant. That sits in the group cohomology of pi 1 with pi 2 coefficients. If you have a base point in here, you can take the image to make a base point in there. And so we're going to have a... Yes?
Can you get by with cells in dimension 4? Or do you really need to throw them in dimension 3 also? Because you're coming off the third homotopy. It seems like you only have to attach cells in dimension 4.
Yeah, I think... on the level of what I can think of standing on my feet, that's probably right. So you have the advantage of sitting down, so that's good. So, thank you. So anyway, I just wanted to sort of emphasize this is a very natural object associated to this, and we want to see how close this is to giving information about out M. Well, you can certainly go over this way. I've left myself not quite enough room here. I'm going to need a little more room somewhere. So the first theorem consists of sort of continuing the sequences which are starting to emerge on the blackboard into a diagram which has enough information to compute out dot of n.
So I'm kind of been worried about the map from odd m to odd b.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite see why there should necessarily be such a map.
Obstruction theory.
Okay.
This is very. I mean, this you use.
So, obstruction theory tells you to extend an automorphism, and doesn't tell you to extend
it. It tells you its extension will be it will be unique up to homotopy. And so this. Coming from here down to here, we can go to omega 4 b by a map you could call beta, and you can change your reference map from m to b by composition with the classifying map. Okay. So beta here, you might wonder what the definition of this is. What is beta? If I have a phi from b to b, this is going to be a homotopy equivalence. If we put it here, homotopy equivalence, then beta of phi, by definition, is again m. And this time we're going to take first into b and then compose with phi and subtract off the classifying map. You know, if pi 2 was 0, this B space would just be K pi 1, and this would just be the classifying map of the universal covering. So this is just some elaboration of that to feed in pi 2 information. Okay, so this is the definition of the map beta, similar to the map alpha. Again, not a homomorphism. And now you immediately, perhaps, start to worry about commutativity, because the natural fiber of this map doesn't look so much like that. Okay? I'll come back to this point. I want to just complete the diagram. The It turns out, so here's, this is theorem one. So if it turns out that what you can put in here is spin bordism of B, spin bordism, here, I apologize for squashing my braid. Terrible thing to do to a braid, squash it. So there's an exact sequence, spin, five-dimensional spin bordism coming through here, down to out, down to there. There's a bordism sequence of the pair coming here, and a connecting map. This is just the normal connecting map in the long exact sequence of singular bordism of the pair, BM. I'll name this map gamma, another non-group homomorphism. And if I had room to write one more term, I would put in pi 1 of the self-homotopy equivalences, the pointed self-homotopy equivalences of B. So theorem 1 is this is a commutative diagram, commutative exact braid. So with one, sorry.
So since unfortunately your braid geometry has been squished.
Yeah, I will redraw. That's really poor. Yes?
So the map from pi 1 to that omega 5 is then in the kernel of gamma. Is that the direction that you're supposed to be exact there?
Think of base pointed sets. Yes, rather than say kernel, take the inverse image of the pointed set. So I'd like to redraw it because it's. See if I can. And I'd like to tell you one more of the maps than I have so far.
The paths are exact.
The paths are exact, and the subdiagrams are commutative, except that maybe if you've used interlocking exact sequences, you know there's often a sign that some of the diagrams might be only sign commutative. This one is sign commutative in the sense which makes sense for non-abelian things. It's commutative if you go over here and down, up over here and down here and up. It's commutative up to inversion in this group, F to F inverse. Okay, so with that proviso, so we might put little, but it's just this diagram. This one here is up to inversion. And the other subsquares are commutative. So this is theorem one. And I wanted to say one more map, didn't I? Which one did I want to say? Any one of these, like this one, or this one is the easy one, and then I have to say something a little more complicated about the definition of gamma and this one. So this is easy. If you take a bordism element, say N5, mapping with a singular map into M. How do I get an element in H tilde? I've just erased the elements of H tilde, but what you do is you take N5, and you can take the disjoint union with M cross I. N is a spin manifold, so this is now a spin manifold with a reference map into M, which is partly G, and partly the projection on the first factor. I didn't say that the objects in H tilde had to be connected, but you could make them connected by doing, making a connected sum there instead of a disjoint union. So this defines the map here from omega 5m into, this gives you an element in H tilde of M. Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about this map and this map as part of a sort of sketch of how you prove the theorem. But before I do that, let's just look at the ingredients. If you accept the existence of this picture for out M, some commutative exact braid diagram like that, then you have to hope that this and this and this and this and this and this are all more computable than the thing you started with in the beginning. Okay, so that's the point of my second part where we actually give a computation. Okay, what is the let's tackle this thing here. How would you define a map from omega 5b into h tilde of m? Well, you start out with an element in omega 5b, as I did up here. That would be the Bordism class of a five-dimensional manifold together with a reference map to B. And that seems to me naturally going into something which I could call H tilde of B, which is, well, again, M on each end, a W in the middle, but the reference maps only to B, and on the boundary, C, and some kind of map here. And I'm going to make this three connected. Okay, so I'm going to relax the definition of omega tilde of M in order to make it obvious that omega 5b maps into it. So I say you have an obvious map of omega 5b into the thing that I just defined down there. The obvious map is this one. Take the Bordism element that you start with, N mapping into B. Take the disjoint union with M cross I, and you have a reference map into B, which is G on part of it, and then just projection followed by the classifying map on the other part. Okay, well now, the claim is that this claim is really what establishes that you get some interlocking exact sequences. So the claim is that H tilde of M H tilde of B is a bijection, is isomorphism. There's a group structure on both of these things, and this is actually a group isomorphism, but in the interest of time, I'm going to suppress the group operation. Why is this true? let's maybe say you might mostly be concerned about the surjectivity. So let's talk about the surjectivity of this correspondence. So suppose you have M. I'm going to draw it looking connected for convenience, and you have a map here which is C on this end. And phi. Here's the data for an element in here, and I'd like to construct out of it an element in here. Right? Well, remember that there's this classifying map. You could think of this as being a fibration over B. Any map can be turned into a fibration, and then look at the fiber. So this fiber is so pi I of this fiber. So you have, you know, pi 2 is an isomorphism. Pi 3, so I guess it's pi I is equal to 0 for I less than or equal to 3. So that's the place 2. Pi 3, that's pi, it's 2, isn't it? Yeah, right. It's equal to 0 for I less than or equal to 2, and then above that you just get the homotopy groups of M. Right? Now consider the lifting problem. You have a map from W to B. Consider the problem of lifting this to a map M, the map into M, relative to this first end. So relative to boundary 0, here's boundary 0 of M, of W, which is M. Okay, we have a lifting already on the boundary 0 of W. That's the map C. And we'd like to consider the obstructions to lifting this to M. So you get things like and you can evaluate these, you can evaluate these maps, these obstructions by Poincaré duality. At least you can translate to homology, and you get H 5 minus I minus 1 of W into boundary 1 of it, of W, and same coefficients. But if you'd taken the precaution to make F 2 connected, which you can do just up to Bordism very easily, low-dimensional surgery, then you find that these obstruction groups are all zero. Okay, so it's just that simple. There exists a lifting of our of the classifying map F to a map W to M, and that's all you need to give you an element using the same geometric manifolds. It's just adjust the reference map to get this an element in M. The map on the other end, the map that you get by lifting this phi, you might wonder, why is that a homotopy equivalence? But it'll be a three-connected map, and the fundamental class will be controlled by the Bordism, and that's enough by obstruction theory to give you the lifting of this phi is a homotopy equivalence. So there's more details there. I'm rapidly running out of time, though. So the injectivity is a relative version of that. What about computations? Maybe and the construction of the map gamma is a very similar obstruction theory argument to that, to the one I just gave. Actually, there's a one sort of cute point about that, and that is, so here's two words about the map gamma. So here I don't get to start with an absolute Bordism element, but a relative Bordism element into B, M. So what does that look like? Again, by taking the disjoint union with M cross I, I can assume we always have, this is a one-picture talk, right? We always have an M at one end, but in here the difference is I'm going to have another manifold N at the other end, or maybe I ought to call it M prime at the other end. Your reference map in the middle goes to B. This end always goes to C. We put in a trivial boundary, lower boundary, just by that M cross I trick. On this end, you just have a map. Oh, sorry, but a little better than that. You just have a map, but it is a map into M, after all. It's a relative Bordism group. The boundary has to map into M. So this is an M prime, okay, different manifold. And we want to do the same kind of lifting argument for this classifying map, but we have to do it relative to this end this time, rather than relative to that end. The obstruction, if you do it relative to this end, the obstructions again vanish, and you can lift. And that accounts for the inverse. Basically, the switch of the two ends gives you this up-to-sign commutativity of this diagram. So, okay, so now the checking of commutativity for various places follows quite directly from the definitions. And so I think I'll move on to an example to what can one say about a computational issue here. Okay, so one computation we've done is, so again, M is spin, and pi 1 of M, I'm going to make a very strong assumption about pi 1 of M, is going to be finite of odd order. Okay. And then you can say that out M, out dot of M, is a group, is a semi-direct product of H2 now over here I want to write the non-simply connected analog of the isometries of the quadratic of the intersection form. So the non-simply connected analog should be the things that preserve all the algebraic data of that space B, that the what's White had called the two type. So it's pi 1, pi 2, k, the data for B, together with S of M. S of M is the intersection form. So this is a purely algebraic gadget. You take an algebraic isomorphism algebraic automorphism of pi 1 and an algebraic automorphism of pi 2 as a pi 1 module. Respecting a class in the group cohomology, inducing an isometry of the intersection form. This is the intersection form, by the way, on the universal cover. So intersection form on pi 2.
So first two isomorphisms are not related. It's not isomorphism of pi 2 taken into consideration isomorphism of pi 1.
Yes, that the sense in which pi 2 is an isomorphism of pi 1 modules uses the isomorphism of pi 1.
So it's not quite pi 1 module isomorphism.
It's a twisted by your identification. If you were to polarize this by identifying pi 1, then it would be exactly pi 2 module isomorphism. Okay, so this is the group structure of out dot of M, and if pi 1 is, if this in the simply connected case, this is the theorem of Cochrane and Haberger. These elements are the elements that I described where you take alpha composed with eta squared, as in the simply connected case. Now, as for the group of smooth H cobordisms, the results. The result comes. So, if you wanted to do this, then you have a surjection onto the same term that appears over there. So, this is surjective. And the kernel is something which is well understood from surgery theory. You know, these are the structures on S of M cross I relative to boundary. This is a finite abelian group. It's isomorphic. So the definition of the structures on M cross I are manifolds. So a manifold W into M cross I, where on relative to the boundary, go to the M cross boundary I by the identity, or diffeomorphism, much the same. So this is a this is pretty clearly this is pretty clearly the kernel of the map from H of M into out. If you did this, one of the maps in the braid. If you look at the if you look at including the H cobordisms here, mapping into there, then the kernel of that will be exactly this structure set. This is a finite abelian group, which is a direct sum of H1 of M and something which is called L5 tilde. Depends on the fundamental group. And this is a two-torsion abelian group, surgery obstruction group. And this, of course, is odd order because pi 1 is odd order, just the abelianization of pi 1. In the simply connected case, both this group and this group are zero, and that gives you an isomorphism of the smooth H cobordisms with the isometries of the intersection form. Pi 1 is gone, then K is gone. You're just left with pi 2 and S. In the non-simply connected case, it's up to this finite abelian group, but we don't actually know the extension in this sequence. In this case, we did identify the extension and found a semi-direct product. Okay.
Comment on the odd order part of the...
Yes, I was just wondering how much time I had and wondering what to say about the proof. But maybe that's a good point to pick up. Why is pi 1 of odd order a good assumption to make? While the braid is here, I will... Computing, so thinking about computing the, well, first of all, here, out dot B is just the automorphisms, the algebraic automorphisms of pi 1, pi 2, and k by homotopy theory. So that has stripped away sort of the geometric properties of the manifold and left you with only this pi 1, pi 2, and k. Inside this would be the ones that preserve the intersection form. And that is recognized by preserving C star of the fundamental class of M. The reason is this is now an H4 of B. If you take the transfer map to H4 of B tilde, then you recognize from the definition of B, it had pi 1, it had pi 2. When you take the universal covering, you have only pi 2 left. So B tilde, what is it? It's just a product of complex of CP infinities, KZ2s. So what is this thing? This is the universal module for a bilinear form or quadratic form on pi 2. It's Whitehead's gamma functor on pi 2. Okay. So the first point is that when you take C star of M and apply the transfer, you get the intersection form, the class of the intersection form in there. Commutativity of this diagram basically tells you that of course, anything in out dot of M has to preserve the intersection form. You recognize that by things which are preserving C star of M. And that's picked up in the fiber of beta, and that comes back from here. So it's the splitting of this diagram comes from the fact that the isometries are seen back here. Okay. Second point, maybe to directly address the question that was raised, you need to know this thing as a pi 1 module in order to compute any spectral sequence for the homology of B. The usual spectral sequence involves the homology of pi 1 with coefficients, local coefficients in the homology of B tilde, the standard spectral sequence for the covering. You need to understand the action of pi 1 on the homology of B tilde in order to have a chance of computing the spectral sequence. So the good news in for pi 1 particular, finite and particularly of odd order is that this gamma pi 2 splits as a pi 1 module. So as a pi 1 module, splitting, direct sum splitting, and this part is cohomologically trivial. So exactly the part that you might have difficulty computing, pi 3 of a 4 manifold, not that easy to compute, together with its pi 1 action is cohomologically trivial. So the cohomology of gamma pi 2 is just the integral cohomology of the fundamental group with untwisted coefficients. Maybe, so with that bit of input, these groups are computed by Thier-Hertzsprung spectral sequences. So you want to compute, you have a homology of a space, say B or M, with coefficients in omega spin of a point. These things will converge to homology of the spin bordism of B or M, if you're computing up here. And again, the spin bordism of it's the homology of B that you need to calculate. And to get the homology of B, you need to get the homology of B tilde and work through that spectral sequence. So this spectral sequence is rather easy to calculate, particularly when you realize that the, apart from having a Z on this line, if you do omega star of a point for spin, you get Z2 here, Z2, 0, and Z. And then a 0 above here too. So that the range that we're interested in up to 5, you have all this two torsion, but then you're taking the homology of something with has odd order fundamental group. That's going to knock off a lot of the difficulty. So this is not hard. It reduces you for bordism. It reduces you basically to understanding the Hurwitz map from bordism to ordinary homology. So most of the board, apart from obvious invariants like signature, most of it's taken care of by the Hurwitz map, and the calculation for the homology of B is wrapped up in this spectral sequence here. So something actually quite miraculous happens when we go to calculate the spectral sequence, and those of you who like to do calculations in spectral sequences might like to do that. So H5 of B is 0. And then the upshot, if I could have just one minute to write the terms in this, where this they are in this diagram. So the upshot is that what you get here is H1 of M. This is under my assumption. You get H1 of M plus Z2. You get H1 of M surjective. You get H2 of M Z2. You get H2 of M Z2 plus Z, and the Z is going injectively up here. You get a Z here, and you get which is the fundamental class thing. And basically this, the kernel here is the isometries pi 1, pi 2 KNS. So then that's the image of that. So one can see the rest of the calculation by this is an isomorphism onto this part. That gives you the subgroup, the H2 of M with Z2 coefficients. The quotient part is split by mapping this into here, which hits this isomorphically. And the deviation between H tilde and that is governed by an H1, which has to be a little bit elaborate. This H1 has to be a little bit elaborated if you pass from H tilde to H for the smooth H cobordisms. So I guess I'll stop there. It's a universal group for quadratic forms take a quadratic form on pi 2, then gamma pi 2 is a universal functor. It sits inside of pi 2 tensor pi 2. It's H4 of a product of CP infinities. So you can see all the products coming from products of two-dimensional classes. So if a four-dimensional homology class encodes a whole lot of products between two-dimensional homology classes, just read off the coefficients. And some of those will give you a symmetric bilinear form, and some of them won't. It's a symmetry condition. That tells you where you are with gamma pi 2.
So I didn't think you could have a four manifold talk these days without Soberg-Witten invariants. Are they somehow related to this stuff?
This is a deep underlying structure. Soberg-Witten is a froth on the surface.
Right? Any other questions? Okay, before thanking Ian, I'd like to present a T-shirt, actually, to each of our morning speakers who gave, I think, wonderful talks. Sergey,
thank you.
And Ian, let's thank Ian one
thank
more
you.
Time.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, until 2 o'clock.